This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Miami, Florida at Sunshine PHP 2016, and my special guest today is Gemma Annibal. Say hi to everybody, Gemma.
Hi to everybody, Gemma.
Now, you're speaking here.
Yes.
And I've said that as the intro to everybody that I've interviewed here, mainly because I just went down the speakers list and said, not talk to them.
That's fair.
Tell us, what's your talk on?
I talked about Git. And how the Git repository is set up as a graph. It's a directed acyclic graph. Mm-hmm. And if you can understand the model of the repository, it makes a lot of the Git operations make a lot more sense, at least to me.
Yeah, see, most of the Git operations don't make sense to me.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I sit there and it'll tell me, you can't check that out. Okay, Git stash. I don't know where Git stash goes, but I Git stash a lot. And then I can check stuff out. You know?
Yes, absolutely. And you can, I mean, a lot of times you can get by with just, you know, commit and push and pull and maybe stash and you can survive with that. But if you really want to be productive and you want to be able to get yourself out of the holes that you will inevitably find yourself in, mm-hmm. understanding the model of the repository can make your life a lot easier.
Very interesting.
I think.
Now, did you have a good response, good audience?
Yeah,
you've already
yeah.
spoke, so.
Yes, it's always funny. The reason I started giving it in the first place was for the team I was working with at the time. They were switching from Subversion to Git, and they were having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And the big, like, aha moment for me in Git was realizing that the repository is a graph, and everything you do in Git is manipulating the graph. And that was kind of the, oh, this is how everything works moment. So I try to bring that to people, and it's always hilarious when I get to the slide on rebasing. I go very slowly through the slide, and then I ask at the end if there are any questions, and inevitably, 5 or 6 hands go up. And then we just talk about rebasing for, like, 15 minutes. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good audience. Well,
the Git command that I learned early on was Git checkout force.
Oh, yes.
You know? And I learned that because I was... When things would go wrong, I would simply rename the directory, create a new directory, and Git checkout.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I truly am I've been using Git for 3-4 years.
Sure.
But I don't understand a lot of it. I've learned that if this happens, you do this. And
yeah.
If all else fails, you can delete the directory and recheck it.
This is true. I mean, it's a great thing of being, you know, a distributed system is that you can always just go somewhere else and start again, and that's fine.
Yeah, and see, you got to understand, I am old. I mean, I'm very old, and my first source code repository was it was Microsoft's team whatever. And
wait,
that was,
Team Foundation Server or Visual
yeah.
Source Safe? Because Visual
Source
Safe.
Visual Source Safe. Yeah.
Yeah. I
but
had to
that
use that
was
for a while.
As the manager, I could call up and say, okay, this person has this file checked out, and life was easy. You know, one person could check out a file, one person could edit that file. I didn't have to worry about it. Then SVN came along, and I'm like, well, okay, I can still work with this. But now Git's come along. It's like, everybody can do anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, see, Visual Source Safe made it easy for you as a manager to look at the thing and, like, I know what's going on. But it made life hell for your development team.
Oh, yes, so. It did. Yeah, no, I would have people knocking on my door screaming, you know, fix this, you know,
yes.
Unlock the file so I can fix
it. VSS also had a problem where it would occasionally just corrupt the data for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
And you would suddenly have no file left after that.
Well, you learn very quickly to back up early and back up often.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? And I think it's cute that you think Visual Source Safe only had one problem.
Well, if you were using it, I don't want to be throw too much shade here.
No. I was using it. My team hated it. My developers
Excellent.
were not fans
Smart team.
Of it.
Smart team.
You know, CSV.
CVS.
No, CVS, yeah.
CVS.
Always good. CVS was better, a yes. better solution than Visual yep. Source Save. Yep. But yes, and so yeah, now we're on Git, and I have most of my projects are just me, and I'll throw it up on GitHub, but nobody cares. You know, I share it because this is something I wrote for me, and I don't care if anybody wants yep. it, but hey, if you do. I do have one or two private projects that me and three or four other developers maintain, mm-hmm. you know, and so things do get interesting because I'll check something in and somebody else will, I was going in this direction, you know?
Yeah.
Because all of us are owners of the repo yep. and owners of the project, and we don't really talk about what we're doing. We're just, I gotta write this, so, yeah. you know? That's when it gets confusing.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. That's like, Git doesn't solve team communication problems for you.
No.
At all. Like, you still have to work that out on a team. You still have to tell people what you're working on and, you know, be really clear and make sure you're pushing your stuff often so everybody knows what's going on. But the problems that it does solve, like, you know, being able to work on multiple things at once and yeah. doing automatic merging without wanting to pull your hair out, like, those are the really...
The other thing that it took me a long time to get used to is checking in often.
Yeah.
Not pushing to the repo, but just checking
often.
In. You yep. know, I'm used to, you know, you work all day or you work 3 or 4 days, you get something working, and then you check it in.
Yeah.
You know, and you're supposed to do checkpoints, and that was kind of weird for me in the beginning.
Yeah.
I've kind of gotten into the rhythm now, though.
Yeah, and it helps because then as you're working over, you know, a period of several days, I don't know about you, I occasionally forget what I did yesterday.
Yep.
And if I'm being disciplined about, like, commit early and often, mm-hmm. I can always go back into the repo and look and be like, oh, I was doing this, and these are the changes I made, and this is probably why, and oh, that was stupid, maybe I should redo that, and, you know, so that's helpful.
Invariably, my checkout messages towards the end of any change
oh, gosh.
Get to, this works, no, seriously, this one works, I think yeah. this one worked, damn it, okay, this one now
yeah.
works. I'll have 4 or 5 of those in
yes.
there.
And with Git, with the magic of rebasing, you can, when you're done, you can squash those all together and call it one.
Yep. You know, switching topics, because
yes.
we're just having way too much fun bashing on old stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
The first time you came to my attention is because you were working, and I guess you still are working, with an old friend of mine, Paul Reinheimer,
yes.
on WonderProxy.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about WonderProxy.
All right, so WonderProxy is a Canadian startup that is profitable despite no venture funding whatsoever, so good on them. They maintain a network of 205 servers
wow.
worldwide now. And I mean, that number was at like 160 something, you know, 7 months ago or whatever. So they're
yeah.
they're growing and they're continuing to grow. They make those servers available to their customers for VPN services and proxy services.
So I can, the thing I loved about it was I could, I think one of his free services, you can put your URL in and it'll tell you if your site is up in
yes.
all these countries, because the servers
yes.
are not just all sitting in Dallas or something.
Right.
They're all around the world.
They're all over the world. We've got all 6 continents. I can't remember how many countries. Paul's going to kill me. It's on our website, wonderproxy.com.
Go
check it out.
We'll throw a link in the show notes
yes.
to it.
And that'll tell you how many countries we have. But yes, the site you're talking about is wheresitup.com.
Yeah.
And that uses our wheresitup API, which we also provide to people who would like to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets you run sort of status commands from any of the servers we have. So you can do a dig, you can do a traceroute, you can do pings, you can, you know, do a curl call
yeah.
From any of our servers and test your site response time or your DNS settings. We helped PHP.net when they redid their DNS. They helped
uh-huh.
we helped them with that.
That's excellent.
So yeah, it's a great it's
the
a
value
cool service.
Prop and the thing that people should be paying for, and quite honestly, everybody that has a web service that is or a website that is international should be a customer.
Absolutely.
I
agree.
You can log, if you're a paying customer, you can log in and see your website and the
yes.
performance from all these different servers that you've got spread out all over the globe.
Yes, and that is exactly what we're going for. We target companies that need to do localization testing from all these different places.
Yeah.
That is our strength. And we've got a lot of documentation and a lot of code, like code samples and stuff, showing how you can set it up to be automated using like Selenium and Sauce Labs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To really do extremely thorough testing from all over the world for your website.
Of course, one of the side projects that came out, and the thing that I used to have, was WonderVPN. Now, I love that because I could VPN, and you get to choose two sites, and so I would choose, like, Arizona and the U.K. Not that anybody would use that to watch Doctor Who when it's released in the U.K. or anything, you know, but you do have a U.K.
Absolutely
IP
not.
Address
no,
at that
of course
point.
Not.
So. But, no, I found that fascinating, and, it, like, I use that for several months, especially when I'm traveling, and... Not mainly. If I'm at home, I'm mainly on my home network. I don't worry about it. But when I'm traveling, I like to have a VPN, and WonderVPN is my go-to for every one of them. You know, the configuration is still in my iPad and my computer, so I just I swipe my credit card and turn it on, and I'm good to go. So,
well, we're happy to help.
I love the service. Okay, enough of the commercial. I jokingly, when we were starting, we said, I always ask people, what do you want to talk about? Because mainly I get the reaction that you gave me. It's like, well, you're supposed to know that. and you gave off several things. And one of the things you said was you've just recently written something in Go.
Yes.
Talk to me about that, because I know nothing about Go.
Okay, well, Go is, I like Go. And the first thing you're going to hear, if you go to like a hardcore, you know, C programmer or whatever, modern somebody who's not a PHP programmer, they're going to be like, Go doesn't have generic, it's useless. I mean, I'm able to be productive with it. So, like, if you're not able to be productive without generics, maybe there's other problems there. Go is a super, super fun language to work with. It's very easy to learn. It's very easy to read. It switches. It doesn't have exceptions. It has multiple returns from functions. So what you end up with in Go is a lot of, okay, I'm going to return the value that I want you to use from this function, and I'm going to return something that can be an error. And if it's an error, then, you know, pass it back up or whatever. If the error exists, otherwise deal with the function.
The programmer part of my brain is now in a corner whimpering.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
So Go is fun. It's targeting systems programmers.
Okay.
It wants to be, like, long-running services and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I used it at WonderProxy. It's currently powering the Where's It Up API.
Oh, cool.
Not the API portion itself, that's all PHP, but the backend that's actually doing the work is written in Go. And a couple weekends ago, I had this idea for like a year. You know how there are so many little scripts and tools that tell you to install them by like curling them directly into your shell?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's bad practice, right? Like that's not, there's a number of reasons why that's bad. One of them is that it's easy, super easy to compromise, like security-wise. So I was like, what if we could like cryptographically sign the script, and then check that when you're running it in your shell. So I wrote this little utility that instead of curling a shell script directly into your shell, you send the shell script or the URL of the shell script to this little utility. And it'll go find the PGP signature that you've already created, and it'll check the author and look it up on keybase.io, which is a platform for PGP stuff. And it'll confirm that the author did indeed sign the script, and then it'll run it for you.
Very cool.
So that was a fun little project that I finally finished last weekend and put it up.
You wrote all of this in Go?
Yeah, I did it all in Go.
Very cool.
And I put it up on GitHub, and I think I like tweeted it. And it ended up, you know, people ran across it and wrote about how stupid it was because this was a terrible idea and why would anyone ever do this? And it was like, well, you know what? It was fun. So your face is stupid and that's whatever.
Never read the comments.
I know,
never
right?
Read the comments.
Never read the comments.
That's why most of my repos are private.
Yeah.
It's not that I want to keep everything closed source. It's that I don't want people to read my code.
Yes, please don't look.
Okay, hey, before I let you go, because this has been way too fun, I usually have to have Keith Casey on to have this much fun. So before I let you go, what's your local user group and what's the URL?
My local user group is Albuquerque Web Geeks in New Mexico.
Cool.
I think it's abqwebgeeks.com, but I'm not sure. Just Google for it.
Okay, we'll throw a link in the show notes to it. That's not a problem.
They meet a couple times a month.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. And you're speaking here at the Sunshine PHP. You've been a Nomad PHP speaker.
Yes.
You've spoke at other conferences. I want to thank you for putting yourself out there, sharing what you know so all of us can know more.
Well, honestly, that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't had me on Nomad PHP that time. So thank you very much for that.
You're
and
welcome.
Thank you for having me on Voices of the Elephant.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.